The Giant's Gamble, Chapter 2, Spare the Dying. One and a half years ago. Listen, kid, if you're going to be clever, then be clever. If you're going to be tough, then be tough. If you're going to be wise, then get older because you're too damn young. First of all, Rune said, raising a finger and squinting across the table at the sailor, you're technically not much older than me. Technically, Killian broke in, laying aside his cards and moving in for another one of his speeches. Your gnomish age compared to my human age is like comparing dogs to dragons. So, yes, technically you may have been alive for comparably as long as I have, but logistically, you're far behind me, and always will be. Until you're in the grave and I'm around for another few centuries, Rune snorted, and the sailor rolled his eyes. The way you've been living, you're like to perish before me, Rundok. Rune shrugged, and Killian picked up his hand, reorganizing his cards. If you hadn't met me, Killian continued, throwing a low card and drawing another, you'd be dead already, I guarantee. If you hadn't met me, Rune said, drawing from the discard pile with a smirk, then you would still be bleeding out of your ears back in Mintarn. Killian rubbed his clean-shaven chin thoughtfully. I'm sure someone would have picked me up. The rock gnome wiggled his fingers at the human. No one with my majestic healing powers. Let's keep that head of yours from getting too big, Killian laughed heartily. And, he added, eyeing Rune's hand in the air, keep those fingers away from me. Four of a kind, Rune dropped his cards. Already? Killian asked, throwing his cards in a scatter across the table. He drew back in his chair and folded his arms. Show them to me. Show what? Rune asked innocently, arms out. The proof is in the cards, my friend. I'll not fall for that trick again, the sailor told him, and Rune relinquished the trick card in his sleeve with a sigh. Even after having blood leak out of your ears, the gnome shook his head, pocketing the cards. You still know my tricks. You'll need to learn new tricks. Rune nodded thoughtfully. You know, you may be right. With that, he stood abruptly and made for the door. I'll be right back, he called as he flew into the night. Killian waved down a server and ordered another ale, rubbing his eyes. Present day. Let's search the guard towers, Thea suggested, and they all split up. Strewn across the town were massive boulders, some of which had ripped through the roofs of houses and shops. There were no bodies anywhere. We need to find out who's ringing that bell. It's giving me a headache, Rune told Killian and Evelyn, and both nodded in agreement. The companions gathered near the drawbridge and discussed their plans. Where did all the townspeople go? Thea asked. Killian shook his head. Taken or escaped? Taken, I'd bet, Rune said. The town was too clean. Every door to every building lay wide open. They crept across the abandoned town towards the temple, where the bell was ringing fiercely. Whoever was up there had clearly lost their wits. Killian snuck up to the door and peered inside, then waved them all over to him. It's empty down here, he told them, and they filed in, closing the door behind. The interior of the temple was small but decorated well. At the end of the chamber lay a pulpit before a colorful mural of several gods and goddesses. To their left, a spiral stone staircase led up to the bell tower. As they ascended the stairs, the ringing grew louder and louder until Rune felt he may be deafened by the noise of it. When they hit the second landing, he could barely hear the crash of a sack of baubles that Thea tripped over noisily and sent scattering down the stairs. Wait, Killian whispered and put a hand out. His voice was drowned out by the bell, but Rune understood. There was shouting over the noise, coming from upstairs. Goblins. Evelyn rushed behind them and clambered up the final few stairs, jumping onto the top landing. She drew one of her rapiers against the flesh inside her arm, drawing blood, and the sword flashed with the sudden light of flames. With a wicked grin, the tiny girl rushed up and out of their sight, and a moment later, Rune heard the dying screech of a goblin. They joined Evelyn a second later, all drawing weapons. Opal threw an ice shard of magic into the air, narrowly missing the goblin, who was swinging on the bell rope and causing the ruckus. The goblin leaped and rolled, raising a scimitar and rushing in to attack the intruders. It managed to scrape its blade across Evelyn's arm before being interrupted. The body of a second goblin lay in two pieces on the floor, clearly slain by Evelyn only moments before. Answer my questions if you want to live, Thea shouted, the noise of the bell now swinging to quiet. The goblin hesitated, eyeing the five of them. It knew it had been beat. Why are you here? The elf demanded. The town was empty, the goblin replied with shifting eyes and quivering hands.
Empty? You mean you found it this way?
The goblin nodded, and Thea turned back to her companions.
Who was your leader? Why were you ringing the bell? Killian asked.
Bosses, hark!
It was unclear on the gender of the goblin, but its voice seemed squeakier, so Rune attributed it to female.
We came to take stuff, lots of stuff.
So they had found the town empty and made some fun out of it.
Can we kill it now? Evelyn asked in her quiet voice.
Rune raised his bow and shot an arrow into the goblin's pitiful face, and it fell backwards out of the window of the tower. It was a merciful kill. Killian dragged the two pieces of the other goblin body and heaved both out of the tower, staining the dirt below to crimson.
I'm glad to have that noise done with, but it's bound to attract anyone in the area, Killian told them, moving back to the stairs and descending.
They followed, weapons out, and by the second landing they could hear the low growls of beasts. The huge nose of a warg was just beginning to peek through the temple doors, and Evelyn was the first to charge it, one rapier flaming, the other slashing. In the span of a few moments, the girl thrust one rapier into the dog-like creature's head and used the other to partially hack off its jaw. There must have been some incredible magical elements in the swords, or the girl, because Rune had never seen a blade fine as that one able to cut through anything so thick. A second warg pounced as Evelyn hacked the other and tore its teeth into her shoulder. Killian had run up to the pulpit, using it as cover, and shot a bolt from his crossbow, which embedded itself in the door, narrowly missing its mark. Opal's bolt missed the beast, but Thea and Rune's arrow struck furry flesh, and the animal released howls of rage as it thrashed its head, jaws tightly gripped on small Evelyn. The light-haired girl wasn't moving as the warg threw her against the stone wall just as Thea and Rune shot two more arrows into it. Rune's arrow hit its open mouth, and it dropped heavily to the ground. Rune rushed toward the unconscious Evelyn, whose shoulder was torn to shreds.
Aetha, he whispered, watching the magic do its work.
The girl's eyes fluttered after a moment, and the gnome breathed a sigh of relief. Her blade was no longer in flames, and she sheathed it, looking annoyed. There's more coming, Killian warned, standing at the partially open door. Sure enough, Rune heard more goblin shouts through the wall. Killian shot a blast of fire and hid behind the doorframe. Evelyn, now thoroughly enraged, threw open the doors to the temple and killed two goblins within a few seconds. She turned her blood-spattered face to her companions, a white smile on her face. A third goblin dropped to its knees and begged for its life. Evelyn thrust her rapier through its abdomen, silencing the pleas. "Look out!" Rune shouted, just as another two goblins rounded a corner and drew back their bows. The arrows took Evelyn in the back and she fell to the dirt, unconscious again. Thea shot an arrow at one goblin, and there was an explosion of cold as Opal cast another dagger of ice. Rune ran to Evelyn again, releasing a sparing spell to keep her from bleeding out as he pulled the arrows from her back. Killian shot his crossbow and killed one of the goblins, and at the same moment, Thea cast a ray of frost at the other and froze it where it stood. "Help me get her inside," Rune said. "There's not much else I can do for her at the moment." Killian lifted the unconscious girl out of the dirt and carried her through the temple doors, setting her down gingerly on the ground and resting her pack under her head. The man then walked up to the doors and wedged them shut with a slab of wood, dragging a wooden bench over to prevent intruders.
"What do we do now?" Opal asked, eyes wide.
"For now, we rest," Killian told the Genasi, taking a seat against the wall. Rune joined him.
"Then what?" Thea asked.
Killian shook his head and looked over to the unconscious girl.
"Then we get to the keep. If anyone remains in the town, that's where they'd be."
Rune closed his eyes as exhaustion swept over him. They were partway to the river, across which lay the keep, when Thea stopped them.
"There's an inn here. We should see if we can find anyone inside."
Killian nodded. "Very well. I will stand guard outside if you want to go through."
"I will stand guard as well," Evelyn said, now revived.
"Hey," Rune said, looking at Opal. "Let me know if you find any booze."
"Come on, Opal," the elf said, and the two of them entered the open door.
Rune drew his bow, notched an arrow, and scanned the abandoned town. A moment later, they heard a scuffle, a shout, and something green streaked past them through the doorway. Surprised, both Killian and Rune's shots missed the creature as it skidded past. Evelyn caught up to the goblin easily enough, however, and slid a rapier into its back before it could escape. She wiped the blade clean and returned to human and gnome where they stood at the door.
"Evelyn, you're very good at this death thing," Killian said approvingly. "I'm glad I'm on your side."
"Should we go in and check on them?" Rune wondered out loud.
"Give them another minute. The more of us who are in there, the louder we'll be," Killian said.
"And the easier we are to kill," Evelyn added solemnly. A few restless minutes later, Thea and Opal returned, and they weren't alone. A tall woman with dark hair and a living snake wrapped around her came through the doors. She and Thea were speaking in hushed voices. Opal appeared behind them, carrying a large wooden chest that looked extremely heavy. "What's happened?" Killian asked, eyeing the newcomer.
"This is Kella," Thea told them. "We found her in one of the rooms upstairs. She said she was sleeping at the inn when the giants attacked. Supposedly, they were throwing boulders down from a floating castle in the sky."
"A floating castle?" Rune asked doubtfully, inspecting the woman carefully. Kella nodded.
"I woke up and barricaded myself in my room. Took down a few goblins."
She showed them the crossbow she held in her left hand. "Where did all the townspeople go?" Rune asked.
"I don't know."
"Let's talk inside," Thea suggested, and they all entered the inn, Evelyn keeping a cautious eye on the door. Opal handed Rune an hourglass. "What's this?" the gnome asked. She shrugged.
"I fixed it."
He admired the smooth glass and fine metal design, then stuck it in his pack. "Thanks, Opal." She nodded happily. There was a goblin body on the floor with a crossbow bolt in it. Killian reached down and pulled the bolt out, wiping it clean and handing it to Kella. "You did this?" he asked, and she nodded. "Would you care to join us? At least until we can get this thing figured out?"
"I suppose so," Kella said,
her snake sliding up her neck and tasting the air with its flicking tongue. Opal threw open the chest she had carried down and raised a shirt of chainmail, inspecting it. She dropped it and pulled out a few gold pieces. "We shouldn't be looting these things," Killian said. "The townspeople will return to Nightstone. It's not right for us to steal it."
"Come on, let's get to the keep."
They encountered a trio of goblins chasing down chickens and dispatched the group quickly. Another group of goblins were carrying pumpkins twice the size of them from the fields. They killed these creatures as well. It seemed this empty town was a vacation spot for these scattered goblins. Finally, they reached the windmill, where two goblins were standing atop and holding bows.
"Halt! Who goes there?"
one of the goblins demanded. "Get down from there," Rune said, now thoroughly annoyed by all the interruptions.
"Longo, shoot the elf!"
the other one cried, and the first goblin shot an arrow at Thea. Before the wizard could react, she was on the ground.
"How is that, Yek?"
"That's it," Rune growled, drawing his own bow and taking aim. Killian shot his crossbow first, striking the goblin named Yek in the foot and causing him to fall off the top of the windmill. Rune shot the other one in the arm at the same moment that it released an arrow at Killian. Opal's bolt missed the goblin, which was howling in pain, and Kella finished it off a second later with her own bolt. "Killian!" Rune cried out. The sorcerer was laying on the grass, unmoving. He pulled the arrow out of Killian where it had struck his neck. The man's face was incredibly pale, and Rune cast a sparing spell on him, then rushed over to Thea and did the same. "Help me drag them to the windmill." What in the hallowed halls of Cloakshadow was happening to them today? Opal, Kella, and Rune dragged their unconscious companions into the windmill. Evelyn was already inside the windmill, descending the stairs. "See anything?" Rune asked, and she shook her head, looking disappointed. "Opal, can you keep an eye on these two until they wake up? I'll take guard upstairs."
"I'll come with you," Kella volunteered.
Evelyn pulled out what looked like an eyeball from one of her cloak pockets and started playing with it. Rune shook his head and didn't ask. They sat atop the windmill for the better part of an hour. Despite Rune's pushing for conversation, Kella was a guarded person and only gave one-worded responses.
"Look," she said suddenly, pointing across the town at an approaching group on horseback.
Rune squinted his eyes, but he couldn't tell what they looked like, nor if they were friend or foe. "Who do you think it is?" he asked. She shook her head, eyes alight.
"People come to help the town."
Rune rushed down the stairs and told the others. Killian and Thea were looking rough, but at least they were awake. "Riders coming into town," the gnome announced. "We're not sure who they are yet." "Have they seen us?" Killian asked, standing slowly and making for the stairs. Rune shook his head and joined back up with Kella. She was shouting and waving her arms, and he cast thaumaturgy, creating a ringing bell noise. The riders stopped, pointed, then turned their horses to a trot and approached. When they were nearer, Kella yelled out and ran down the stairs, throwing the door open.
"Sulkin," she said.
Rune followed closely behind her. So, she knew the riders after all. This man, Sulkin, sat at the head of the group and was a half-elf with a scar across his face and a snake coiled around the top of his head, scaling wings tucked behind its back. A flying snake.
"Kella," he said, smiling, "what news?"
"Lady Nandar must be in the keep," she responded.
"Very good," Sulkin said, looking at first Rune, then Thea and Opal, who had followed behind.
Killian and Evelyn were nowhere to be seen.
"This is our town now, and you're coming with us,"
Rune snorted and crossed his arms. "What makes you think that?"
Silken kicked his horse and it stepped forward so he was towering over the gnome.
There are 7 of us and 3 of you. You're coming with us.
There should be 2 more, Kella said. A man and a girl.
Silken nodded his head in the direction of the windmill.
Find them, he ordered,
and the 2 of his men dismounted their destriers and went to investigate. Rune could feel his heart pounding hard in his chest, but he gave no reaction.
You can have the town, Rune said, eyeing the half-elf. We honestly don't care what you do with it. Take it, own it, whatever. Don't care. All we want is to chase down some giants. So if you don't mind, we're going to leave now.
I don't care what you want, Silken growled. I said, you're coming with us. To the keep.
Why exactly do you want us? Rune raised an eyebrow, unsatisfied.
Silken just looked down at him for a moment, then turned his gaze to the windmill as his 2 men returned with Killian and Evelyn in tow. They shoved everyone together and mounted their horses again.
We're going to the keep, Silken announced, kicking his horse.
Kella followed next to him on foot, and the other men swept up around Rune and his companions.
These fine folks seem extremely reasonable. We should definitely follow them, Rune said loudly to his companions, and Thea gave him a warning look.
I should have known we couldn't trust that woman, Killian cursed under his breath.
Rune sidled up closer to Silken's mount to inspect the insignia emblazoned on his saddlebag. It depicted a white dragon flying down. He reached a hand to look inside.
Don't, Thea warned, and he dropped his hand just as Silken turned and gave him a dirty look.
His chest was swelling with rage. Whoever these people were, they clearly couldn't be reasoned with. But who were they? Why did they care about a few travelers? What did they want with some small deserted town?
They reached the river, across which stood the keep. The bridge was broken, but it only took a few minutes for Silken's men to jump across and string a few ropes, which they crossed, leaving the horses behind to graze.
That's the Centaurum emblem, Thea whispered to them while their captors were busy.
What does that mean? Killian asked.
From what I know of them, they're a power-hungry faction looking for new means of control. What do they want with Nightstone? Rune demanded in a hushed voice. But before they could discuss it further, Silken dismounted and walked up to them.
Well, well, look who got off his high horse, Rune said.
Silken raised a gloved hand and backhanded Rune across the mouth. The 3-foot-tall gnome fell back and spit out a gob of blood, then shot the half-elf the dirtiest look he could muster. Killian helped Rune stand, and as he did so, Rune cast a blessing of the trickster on his friend. Killian and he shared a look, and the man nodded imperceptibly.
Guess they don't have a sense of humor either, Rune whispered to his friend, who nodded in agreement.
They crossed the river one by one, and were soon entering the stone keep. The gatehouse was all but destroyed by a massive boulder, but the main building remained intact. Inside the keep were 4 guardsmen, who relinquished control to Silken and his men without a fight. They were leaderless in a town with no townspeople.
Where is Lady Nanda?
Kella demanded of the guardsman who introduced himself as Alara.
Dead, he told them, crushed by a boulder.
The Lady Nandar is dead? Killian asked, stepping up. Can I see her? The guard looked at Silken uncertainly, who nodded.
Excuse me for a moment, Killian said.
The guard gestured to Killian and took him to a secondary room, where the woman's body was laid on a stone slab, pale and lifeless. He put his hand on hers, and a guard shouted at him.
Hey, don't touch her!
Killian raised his hands and took a few steps back, and the guards grabbed his arm and dragged him back out of the room.
This town is under our control now, Silken was telling the guards.
His own man began setting up inside the keep, unpacking weapons and stoking a fireplace in the corner.
We have no quarrel with you, Thea said to the leader. Let us leave this town and pursue the giants. That's the only reason we are here.
Where are the townspeople? Silken demanded.
Damned if we know, Rune said, glaring at him.
Kella can tell you just as easily that we came here with no clue of what happened. She was here during the attack, supposedly. She would know better than us where they went.
Silken looked to Kella, who shrugged.
You work for us now, Silken said, looking at the 5 companions. You're going to find the townspeople and bring them back to Nightstone.
They all looked at each other, a mixture of confusion and exasperation in all of their faces.
Sure, why not? Rune shrugged. We all have a ton of experience with tracking entire villages of lost people. Let us go and we'll find the people of Nightstone, no problem.
Silken stared at the gnome for a full 5 seconds before tearing his gaze away.
You will all sleep here tonight.
Great, can't wait, Rune muttered, and he and his companions found a corner of the keep near the guards of Nightstone, who were sitting down, uncertain of what to do.
They unrolled their blankets and had a fitful night of sleep. Rune awoke to the blaring of a war horn. Men were rushing about inside the keep,
Killian arose and grabbed Kella. What's happening?
Fire on the edge of town, she said.
Both the guards and Sulcan's men seemed lost, so Killian started shouting orders at them to organize. Sulcan walked up, looking harried. What's your plan? Killian asked the half-elf.
You five can go out and see who's coming, Sulcan said.
Killian stepped up to the half-elf, his face inches away, and poked a finger into the leader's chest.
Fine, but you owe me.
He spun on his heel and gestured to Rune and the others to follow him as he stormed out of the keep.
These people are clueless, Rune said as he jogged to keep up with his friend.
I know, Killian shook his head.
They crossed the ropes over the river and ran through the abandoned town of Nightstone in the direction of the drawbridge.
Orcs, at least 20 of them, Killian announced as they all stood atop the guard's tower, gazing over the palisade.
Should we lower the drawbridge and let them in? Rune asked. They could deal with Sulcan and his men and we could be free to leave.
Killian shook his head. I'll not leave this town to ruin and ransack.
Why do you care so much? Thea asked.
Because, Killian sighed, eyes down. This is where I grew up.
Do you have family in Nightstone?
I did, he nodded. My parents, though I have no idea where they are now.
What do we do then? Thea asked.
We kill them, the sorcerer said simply. Thea nodded and looked over at Opal.
I need a blade.
They ran out in search of new weapons.
It took a while for the orcs to come within range of the town wall. They swam across the moat with difficulty, and some of them began tossing ropes to catch on the top of the palisade so they could climb it. A few split off from the group and ran in the direction of the river.
Good, Rune thought, watching the hulking creatures leave. Maybe they'll take care of Sulcan.
Once the orcs were within range, they began firing weapons and spells. Thea cast a sleeping spell over those climbing the wall, and a couple of them fell to their deaths. The orcs retaliated with javelins, but the guard's tower provided good coverage from the missiles. Opal twisted her hands in the air, and massive vines grew up in the ground and wrapped themselves around some of the orcs. Rune shot a burst of yellow spiritual flames over the vines, which burned and killed. A singular javelin soared through the air and caught Killian in the shoulder, pushing him back. He ripped the javelin free with some effort and cast it to the ground, tying off the wound. Evelyn took up the javelin and threw it back, spearing an orc instantly.
This town is well defended, Killian shouted to the creatures as their renewed vigor drove them forward. You will never take it.
The orcs ignored him, tying up new ropes to throw into the palisade. Another warhorn sounded from the forest, drawing everyone's gaze. Suddenly, half the orcs below turned to flee, some swimming desperately across the moat, others running along the fence line and out of view. The companions shot the enemies in the back as they ran.
There are riders coming, Killian shouted, loading his crossbow and peeking out of the windows again.
Will they help us? Rune asked uncertainly.
Elves! Thea shouted, whooping aloud.
Rune scooted in around their legs to see the incoming riders. Sure enough, there were at least 6 elven riders on white horses galloping down the road. Thea ran to lower the drawbridge.
Wait, how do we know they're not enemies? The gnome demanded.
They're elves, Thea said, turning the crank.
Orcs approaching, Opal cried, looking out the window facing the town.
The orcs, Rune could now see, were slowing and looking confused at the lowering drawbridge. Opal shot a bolt at the orcs as they continued forward, and Evelyn cut her rapier against her ribs, drawing blood and alighting it with flames, then ran down the stairs to attack. Rune notched an arrow, released, and took down an orc as Killian rushed down after Evelyn and thrust a hand against the ground, releasing a wave of thunder and knocking all but the furthest orc back 10 feet. With a swirl of wind, the sorcerer lifted off his feet and flew back to the window of the guard's tower, clambering in. Evelyn was going to be surrounded. The lead orc was pounding against her thin blades with a heavy great axe. Rune ran out to the girl, but it was too late. She was knocked to the ground, unconscious. Again. She had a huge gash across her chest, and it was getting harder to tell which blood was hers and which was the enemy's.
Damn it, girl. Quit running into fights alone.
As arrows, bolts, and blasts of magic flew from his companions, Rune cast a healing spell over Evelyn, now that the orcs had moved away from her.
Where are those elves?
Evelyn awoke and Rune ran back to the tower for cover. Then, with a wave of his hands, invoked an illusion of himself, a duplicate, to run out in front of the orcs and hopefully distract them. From the hands of the illusion, he cast a roaring yellow flame, which caught the nearest enemy and sent it to the ground screaming. Surrender! Killian shouted to the leader. There were only a few orcs remaining. The leader summoned the floating, shimmering shape of a large spear and sent it bobbing through the air. It came at Thea, who dove out of its range and drew her newly found blade, singing over it in a strange language.
The blade crackled with blue lightning, and her eyes glowed blue for a moment. Suddenly, the leader of the orcs raised a hand, pointing it at the elf, and said, "Approach." Thea's eyes went blank, and she slowly walked toward the orc. Rune looked around desperately. How could they break this spell? When Thea was only a few feet away, the leader gestured to another orc and it stepped up, cutting Thea down where she stood. Opal shot a bolt into the leader's chest and he ripped it out, looking around to see who had shot it. Rune sent his illusion to Thea's body to cast a sparing spell over her bleeding chest. Evelyn cut down another orc, ducking under its heavy blade. "Killian, no!" Rune shouted as Killian jumped from the tower window and shot a leash of lightning at the leader, wrapping it around his body. The orc scowled and shook the lightning free, and Killian fell back onto the ground. The floating spear shot from the sky and pierced Evelyn's chest, knocking her off her feet. Rune sent his duplicate to the girl and cured her wounds, then turned the illusion around so it could make a rude gesture at the leader, who all but ignored it. Again, the leader resisted Killian's lightning, but Opal hit him with another bolt. Finally, the lightning wrapped around his huge orc's body and pulled it through the air. As the orc was dragged, Evelyn leaped to her feet and thrust her rapier hilt deep into the orc leader's throat. They finished off the rest of the orcs with ease. A volley of arrows shot up over the palisade and one struck home. When there was one final orc standing, Opal killed it with a lethal bolt to the chest. Rune cursed, glad to see none of the elven arrows had hit his companions. Somehow, amongst the fighting, Killian and Evelyn had been injured. Killian was on the ground, bleeding heavily from several wounds. Rune relinquished his duplicate and ran to Killian's side. "Don't die, friend," he whispered, sending a trickle of healing through the human's body. He healed Evelyn next. A few of the elves appeared a moment later, their white horses lathered with sweat and snorting. They stopped before the bleeding, exhausted group, steeds pawing at the ground impatiently. "Do you have any healers?" Rune asked the elves. There were three of them, and the lead one barely looked at him. "Please, my companions are very injured." The elf surveyed the orc bodies strewn everywhere. "Is that all of them?" "I think so," the gnome replied. The elf took up the reins into both hands, met Rune's eyes for a moment, then said, "You're welcome." The three of them turned their mounts and rode off. "Well, you can always rely on the help of elves," Rune said sarcastically, looking over at Thea, who was shaking her head in confusion. "Come on, let's get Evie and Killian into the tower before we have any other chatty people to deal with." Opal and Thea moved their companions' bodies out of the field and into the entrance of the guard's tower, Rune trailing behind them with weapons. "This has possibly been the worst 2 days of my life," Rune thought, throwing the weapons into a pile next to Killian's sleeping form, "and I've had some pretty bad days." He slumped down next to his friend and touched a hand to his forehead. He had come on this adventure, not to die, but to experience life. This was something else entirely. This was dark and filled with misery. Without his words and his tricks, who was Rundok Garrick? You've been listening to The Giant's Gamble by Alexis Vienendahl and based on the Storm King's Thunder D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at www.alexisvienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes.